Welcome to the Disability Podcast, the podcast where we talk about everything disability, from tips and tricks to gaining the most of your independence and therefore your freedom. Let's not waste any time and dive right into the Disability Podcast.
Welcome back to the Disability Podcast, and on today's episode, we're talking everything fashion, and especially adaptive clothing and adaptive fashion, and how it really has taken off in the last couple of years, especially because even a decade and a half ago, when I was in school, there wasn't that many options. And it's not perfect yet. It definitely isn't perfect yet, but it's moving in the right direction. So it's a good time to talk about. I have had experience with adaptive fashion in the past, so I think I'm in a good space to talk about it. Before, what you used to have is, or what you still do, but it's becoming less often, is you had function over fashion, which is important, I know, because people, let's say, would rather not get injured and be able to do things. But the thing about function over fashion, it's a catch-22, is that if something looks medical, there's a less chance that it's going to be used. And that's because people want to fit in. And if something you're wearing basically is like a loudspeaker saying, "Ooh, I have a disability," then there's less chance it's going to be worn. At home, it doesn't really matter, but I mean, that's another conversation. People do like to have things that look good at home, especially when they're hosting and all of this stuff. So it matters all around, but especially with clothing, when you're going out and about, socializing, doing all these things, it's very important to have clothing that's fashion and function. So before, as it was all medical, most of the stuff out there was white, cream, you know, very clinical. And so it doesn't just look medical, but it also limits your, how do I say it, freedom of expression, because you only had a couple of colors to choose from. And then, so I mean, you could either look like a rainbow or just all white, or there was no freedom to express, like I said. So the move slowly towards people realizing fashion is important as well as function, it means that every year there's more and more cool things that we can do, especially if, let's say, like me, you have limited mobility or if you don't have the fine motor skills. So that's really cool and that's really nice. The one thing I would say is there's still a balance between clothing and shoes, because they're both the same, they're both the same and different at the same time. Like some people, especially when you're growing, you need, I mean, I used to have two different sets of shoes, two different sizes, because funnily enough, normally the weaker side, which is the smaller foot, would end up being bigger because of the AFO. So you would have I would always have a bigger left shoe than a bigger right shoe. It was less common in sports shoes because you have to buy a size up anyway. But in everyday shoes, yeah, you'd have to buy two shoes, which is not, I mean, for people who have to buy them, you have to spend twice as much. Now, there are companies now which let you buy one size of one shoe and one size for the left, one size for the right, which is very nice. But I've always thought, I have no experience with this, but if you're an amputee, do you still have to buy both shoes? I don't know. Should you have to buy both shoes? That's another question. So, I mean, I guess people do have, now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, people do have prosthetics. So it's probably a similar issue with the sizing, though. I'm just trying to think. I don't know. I have to talk to someone who is an amputee. But going back to clothing, the key thing is the differences that make something from a functional item to a fashionable item, and therefore both, are very, very small. Now, most people would overlook all the things because they don't realize it, because people with disabilities, I've always said this, see things from a completely different angle. And that's very interesting that we always see things from a different viewpoint. But for example, if you wear AFOs, just a little bit of targeted padding here and there, just where the straps are, where you put your shoes on, where you put your AFO on, reduces a whole lot of stress on your leg and it makes everything better. I know this from experience. And it's also, if you train a lot, those straps do rub on you a lot, rub on your leg, and then it can cause soreness. So just thinking about these tiny little things that can solve the solution very easily makes all the difference. And these days it's very hard with modern techniques, it's very easy to hide things like zips, seams, all of this stuff. I mean, everyone likes a pocket. And the whole thing is, people want to be more independent, people want to be more free. And in order to get the freedom and the independence, we want to be able to express yourself. So that is, I'd say, the key. Everything that's leading this adaptive movement in the clothing space is that they want to be more expressive, so they can be more independent, so they can be more free. No one wants to have someone help them get dressed in the morning when they can do it themselves, if clothes were just made in these tiny few tweaks, an extra zip here to open up the leg seam. Some of these you can see on sports clothing already, so you can fit your leg in with more maneuverability. Or for example, shoes that open from the front, so you can put your AFO in and zip them up. There are products out there like that already, and they just solve all the problems. I would say, though, smart clothing is always an issue, even with adaptive stuff, because, well, anything really, not just smart clothing, anything that requires a dress code. So smart clothing needs to have buttons. Okay, you can have fake buttons, so that solves that issue. But normally the trousers have to be a certain way. You can get around it by elasticating it, so that's fine. The shoes, it's always the shoes with smart. Like for me, I had to wear Velcro for smart events, which I was always self-conscious at. I finally found a pair of shoes that solved that problem for me. But it was always smart events which had me worrying the most, because the whole point is you're meant to wear certain outfits for smart events and you can never get it just right. So shoes were the actual main problem, because for me, I have an AFO, but I also have a heel raise, which is another inch. So if you think about normal shoes, they come up to your ankle. But then imagine, okay, you have an AFO and then you have a 2-inch raise. If you have a normal shoe now, imagine it, your heel is coming over the lip of the shoe. So I've always been limited to high tops, which I don't mind, they look good. But before, and especially during sports, that's when it becomes more complicated. I try and get the highest ones possible, because if the heel comes out when you're running, yeah, it's basically game over and you trip. That's happened to me before. Which is, yeah, interesting experience, to say the least. Because then you have to fiddle around, put your foot back in. It's a big problem. Anyway, I'm starting to ramble, so let's get back on topic. The difference that's happened in the past 5 years is that the people who've grown up with disabilities can now actually design things that solve their problems and therefore other people's problems. And that is good because the technology these days has also caught up. So what I mean is, let's say I found a solution for something that I needed to do, so solved my sort of problem with the extra padding, which I did during COVID. It was very fun because I was bored. I can just literally write it down, get it designed very simply, send it off to a factory somewhere in the world, and get it mailed back to me for, I think it was, yeah, $10 a pair. And if you're solving one person's problem, you're going to be solving other people's problems. So in that instance, you are solving a solution for many people. And this is what this podcast is mainly about, solving the problems that everyone has in their day to day. So the tips and tricks of the world. Now, if I can do that, anyone can do that. So you can solve your problems by knowing your problems. And that, I think, is also where the industry in general, where all, the whole disability industry hasn't caught on yet. If you want to solve a disabled problem, you need someone with lived experience to solve that problem, because they can look at, let's say, XYZ, company has made a product XYZ, and I'll be able to tell you within, I would say, about a minute, if it would work or if it would not work. Okay, it would be, especially for my use case, but I can expand my thoughts a little bit, try and include other use cases. But you need to get disabled designers to design disabled clothing products. And if you do that, the whole industry from start to finish will then, it will be like a renaissance of the disability, fitness, fashion, everything industry. You get people with lived experience to solve the problems, and then you make that. And that is, in my opinion, a whole industry that hasn't been catered for. The stuff that is out there, and I have done a lot of research because we need to do this type of research. I need to do this type of research because I was trying to find solutions for myself. And it really doesn't annoy me. I can see why it is. But what happens? You Google disability. Disability is very, very focused on wheelchairs. And that's not a bad thing. But because disability is synonymous with a person in a wheelchair, I can see why, because the icon for having a disability is the wheelchair, and it's probably just expanded from there, is that wheelchairs have a lot of options now for adaptive clothing, a lot of adaptive everything, which is very nice. I am very happy for them. But for people with more minor issues, with different issues, it can be like we've been looked over, left out, when all we need is very tiny, small alterations, and that solves the issue. So if you're curious what I mean by this, search adaptive clothing on Google adaptive clothing. I will guarantee you 7 out of the 10 websites that appear will be now focused on wheelchairs. That doesn't necessarily mean they don't have non-wheelchair stuff, but I'm saying they'll be focused on wheelchair users. So we need some designers that design stuff for non-wheelchair users. Maybe we don't have hidden disabilities, but I mean, for me, you wouldn't know if you saw me walk down the street and have a disability, but people with fine motor skills, people with who wear AFOs, and, you know, that small problems that we need to get resolved and fixed. Anyway, like I said, I did it for myself, but not everyone can do it for themselves. I'm just saying, if you have the idea, which is the hardest thing, if you have the idea, you can find the solution. And then from the solution, you can make it from the design to the manufacturing point is actually these days very simple. Anyway, in the good news is the industry is changing. Like I said, 15 years ago, the industry was, there was only clinical adaptive stuff. Now there's a lot of fashionable adaptive stuff. So we're all moving in the right direction, and I'm very happy for it, even for disability, wheelchair users, non-wheelchair users. There's a whole plethora of interesting and fun things out there, which is always nice. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just choice. People like to have choice. Everyone is different. Some people like some things, some people don't like some things. And it's just about freedom of expression. Exactly what you want, really. To try and be, as I've coined the phrase quite recently, it's freedom and independence is all the closest to the independence is the thing that most people with disabilities want. We don't have to be, we know that at some point, sometimes it will be impossible to be 100% independent, but it's getting as close to that point as possible. And every little thing happens. Anyway, I think that brings it to an end, but as we close, I'd just like to say, every year there's more innovation, there's more choice, there's more self-expression. Every year there's new textiles. For example, personally, I love bamboo. So check out bamboo clothing. They're great. Just anything bamboo, but make sure it's 100% bamboo. The only problem with bamboo is it is not the strongest material. So have a thought about that. And the point is, when someone feels good, then they become more confident, and so they can chase their dreams even more. So let's see what happens in the industry, let's see what happens in the whole disabled space. And if you guys know any cool companies, any cool brands, any cool ideas, put them in the chat. DM me. I'd love to see what is actually out there for my limited research that I've done for myself. So yeah, let me know and have a good week.
Thank you for listening to the Disability Podcast. I hope you found it entertaining and useful, and are looking forward to the next episode coming next Monday. Looking forward to seeing you there.